In all the Gospels but Luke, this incident follows upon the first multiplication of loaves. Luke saves part of it, not the walking on the sea, but the second multiplication for the Emmaus journey. I want to try, in a brief time, to try to show you the way Scripture teaches by allusion. What's going on here? Why is this here? Why is it important? We are between the account of our Lord's multiplication of the loaves in the desert near Passover. You understand? He purposely did that to say, I am the new Moses. He did it on purpose. Then they wanted to make him king, revolutionary king, of course. And he said to his disciples, get out of here. He went up to the top of the mountain to pray. And then this incident. Why is it told? It's the power of allusion. What this text is declaring is that Jesus is divine. So that when the people at Capernaum in the discourse to follow say, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? The answer is, he's divine. His flesh is risen from the dead, is transformed, and he's divine. That's the answer. Does this text tell us that? Yes. How? Allusion. The power of allusion. Now, you know this new instruction from Benedict at the end of this, when all those bishops were together for such a long time in a synod, Verbum Domini, on the word of the Lord, right? And then he wrote, as popes always do, an apostolic exhortation called Verbum Domini. Verbum Domini, by the way, if you're saying Mass in Latin and you come to the word of the Lord at the end of the first reading, what do you say? Verbum Domini. So from the very moment it starts, you're in a liturgical context on purpose. Okay, enough of that. I want to give you an example of an allusion. All right. Suppose we're in a pro-life rally. And so I'm supposed to give the speech. So I start. Over 200 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We are gathered here to consider the scourge of abortion, right? This will determine whether this nation or any other nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. What am I doing? I'm alluding to the Gettysburg Address. Is that all? Think. I'm saying we are involved in a civil war. That's what I'm saying. Do you see the power of allusion? The scriptures are allusion from one end to the other. That's how they bind it together. So this is a proclamation of Jesus' divinity. I'm going to try to show you how. You see why in the Verbum Domini it says everybody has to get familiar with Scripture. It's a world in which God reveals himself. Enough. Okay. There is in the Psalter, Psalm 107. The title of the psalm here in this translation, God the Savior of Men in Distress. And it goes through. It's a refrain, right? They went astray in the desert and they couldn't find anything and they cried out to the Lord and he brought them to a city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his kindness. And then they dwelt in darkness and gloom because they had rebelled against the words of the Lord. He humbled their hearts. They called out to him. He led them forth from darkness. Let them praise the Lord. You see the rhythm of the psalm, right? Then there's one that goes, they went down, those who go down to the sea in ships. Okay? Trading on the deep waters. They saw the works of the Lord and his wonders in the abyss. He commanded and a storm wind arose. Their hearts melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and so forth. And then finally, he brought them to the haven they desired. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his kindness. Remember that as you can remember the Gettysburg Address, okay? And now, let's go back and look. And this is why translations are so, if unless you read the text, are so crucial. Starts off well, this translation. When it was evening, the disciples of Jesus went down to the sea. Anybody who knows the Bible says, whoop, Psalm 107, right away. Now, they did translate it the way the text says it, and it's identical. Remember, these people work in Greek. It's identical to the Greek translation of Psalm 107. And because he's writing in Greek too, it's the same in Hebrew. They got in a boat and went across. The sea was stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus. They began to be afraid. And what did he say? Ego eimi, I am. Now, it can mean it is I, but the phrase is I am. For instance, we are looking for Jesus in the garden. We are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, you can translate it, I am he. But he said, ego eimi, I am. And they all fell back. So here, don't be afraid. I am. They wanted to take him into the boat, but the boat immediately arrived at the shore to which they were heading, this translation has it, but that they desired. So now do you see what's going on? This is a preparation so that we will believe him when he starts Monday saying, you eat my flesh, you drink my blood, you live forever. How can he give us his flesh and blood forever? Because he's divine. When we eat this flesh and drink this blood, our bodies are filled with divinity. Now the scriptures are too subtle to come right out and say that, though they do in places. Besides, those words get cheap then. Oh, he's divine. All right, he's divine. It's fine. He's divine. Okay, now what else is new? Who won the game? You see? It's subtler than that. Because the truth, he is divine. Only the great mystics who have gone through the dark night of the soul and come out the other side can begin to glimpse that in any real way. And of course, the people in heaven who see him. But this links the multiplication and the discourse. Who is it who's going to tell us to eat his body and drink his blood? God. I know it's kind of a Bible lesson for a homily, but it's crucial. Well, how am I going to pick all these things up? Well, the most basic way is to get to know the Bible. First time I saw that, I was reading Psalm 107. I happened to be reading it in Hebrew because I was saying my office. And it says, Yardu Layam. Yardu. That's what John says. And I went and looked it up. I said, oh, now I'm alert. Now I'm looking for, you know, allusions to someone. And what is Psalm 107 doing? It's celebrating the work of God. The words, he is divine, are easy. What's the content? What do they mean? What's the reality for which that stands? How can that enter our spirit? By the work of the Holy Spirit. And the most precious way is through the Verbum Domini. But that means you've got to change your culture. You just don't read the Bible for a few minutes every day. You get into it. This is the way you will learn. It takes a lifetime. Of course it does. Why not? What else are you going to do? You've got to make a little money, you've got to eat a little food. But this is it. That's why pray for translators. The dear souls who did this one didn't get it. Now it's very hard to get it and still translate it and make sense. Like my little allusion to Gettysburg. That was pretty awkward, really. I mean, like, I'm pounding you over the head with that. It can be more subtle. The Holy Spirit has thousands of those treasures that could open us up so that our spirits touch Jesus for who he really is. Okay.